The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. In our confirmation class this year, we've been about the business of answering the questions that our confirmation students posed back in September. I think I shared some of those with you in a sermon at some point, the marvelous questions that they had about God, Lutheranism, worship, the Bible, pastors, Muslims, baptism, loads of other things. And so it's been an incredible year. Spending time digging in those questions, the questions that were sitting inside of our kids until we asked them and spent time answering them. When we asked about Lutheran worship, one of them asked something like, "What's the new covenant in Jesus' blood? Why do we say this is the new covenant in my blood at Holy Communion?" So in order to answer that, we have to go back and ask what is a covenant? And if Jesus' blood is the new covenant, was there an old covenant? So in confirmation class, we often use videos, and our favorite video series, I guess, is this couple of guys who decided that they wanted to make animated videos that are about 5 minutes long about every book in the Bible and about every kind of concept in the Bible. So if you would like to know what we mean when we talk about the judges of Israel, you can just Google, it's called The Bible Project, and that's all over YouTube, and it's free. The Bible Project, Judges of Israel. And there's going to be a 5-minute breakdown of what that means, and so you can move forward. So we watched their video on covenants in order to move into what does it mean to be the new covenant in my blood. And the first thing we learned was that a covenant is a promise, and that it usually goes both ways. I promise to do this, and you promise to do that. God makes a promise. In the Bible, it's God making a promise, a covenant, right? And then having some requirements for the partner in the covenant. Sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's the nation of Israel, to live within that promise, to keep that covenant. So we had to go, we discovered we went all the way back to creation. And God makes this deal with people and says, you can have all of this. And not only that, you can have some power and some dominion and some responsibility in all of this, but just not that tree. And we know how that story went. Just trust me to be God, God said, and you be the people, and you can have all this and you can be all this, but just not that. But they didn't, and the deal, the covenant, was broken. And then the next covenant we find in Scripture is Noah. After the flood, God says, I know people will still be sinful and wicked, And despite that, I'm not going to destroy everything again, and I'm going to make sure that this earth is a reliable place for us to do work together. And while usually covenants seem to be a sort of an agreement, a two-way promise, in this case, there's no requirement on the part of Noah or Noah's family or people. God just makes a promise. God just says, I won't do that again, and I will provide for you an earth that is inhabitable and that we can do our work together. Then we have Abraham. So Abraham had this covenant experience with God. God chooses him and promises him a huge family and lots of land on which to flourish. And God asks Abraham to trust him and to train up his family to trust God. And somehow, God is going to use that relationship of true covenant and trust and love to redeem all of the families in all of the nations. And the next time we have a covenant, this is after Abraham's family has become the nation of Israel. And God gives the Ten Commandments. It's through Moses, but it's really to the whole people. God says, live this way. Live according to my intention for your beautiful life in community. And you live this way, and I will bless you. And you will be my representatives in the world. People will know who I am because they're watching you. That didn't work out so well either. The next covenant God makes with Israel is through King David, who's the king of Israel at the time. And God says, be faithful to me, live according to my laws, but also rule according to my heart. Be just and loving. And when you do that, then I'm going to bring from your lineage, your grandsons, great-grandsons, I'm going to bring you a king to rule your kingdom, which is actually going to be my kingdom, and it will rule the whole earth, and it will rule with the law of love. And it will bring peace and blessings over all the nations. So we have a no-brainer guess what, right? Guess what? God keeps God's part, and guess what? Israel doesn't. They did not live according to God's will. They did not rule justly. They were not faithful to God. They had other gods. And then there was exile, and there was wilderness wandering. And they were a people without a land and a family without a home. And while that wilderness walking and exile is happening, the prophets keep speaking. And they keep speaking about how God will make all things new. And specifically, we got a piece of Jeremiah that Leslie read for us today. He specifically speaks about this new covenant that God will invite Israel into. And this new covenant will be the restoration of all the other covenants. So it says this, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people, and no longer shall they teach each other or say to each other, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. For Christians, Jesus is this new covenant. Jesus is of the family of Abraham. So he fulfills that covenant. He fulfills the covenant by bringing blessings to all families through that family. And Jesus is the only Israelite who can live fully in obedience to the law. He can keep all the commandments all the time. So he is the fulfillment of the covenant that God made through Moses. And Jesus is the king from the line of David who rules justly and extends God's kingdom to all nations. So Jesus can keep the commitments and the covenants, the commitments that God requires in the covenants. Jesus can be the faithful partner with God that we keep proving we can't be through Jesus and joined to Jesus in our baptisms. We can actually be in real and lasting covenant with God. On the very last night, when Jesus is with his friends before his arrest, in the last quiet, unhurried, unchaotic moments, Jesus shares a meal with his friends. He says, Here is a way for you to remember what God is doing right now. I am going to die. It is imminent. Whenever you get together and share a meal, remember that I am the new covenant. He says to them, these good Jewish boys, you know the history of our people. You know the history of Israel and the covenants that God has made and Israel has broken. You also know what prophets have said, that there will be a new covenant. And you know that God said, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. So Jesus says, I'm about to die. My body will be killed. My blood will be spilled. And you see this bread and this wine? From now on, when you gather in my name with the holy intention of drawing near and being nourished and forgiven and fed, the bread is my body and the wine is my blood. The new covenant is wrapped up in this meal. As often as you eat and drink together in my name, you will be fed with actual food and actual drink that nourishes your actual body. And you will be nourished by your unity with me. Together with me, Jesus says, you are also the new covenant with God. And here's a super cool image for us. Right before, in a few minutes, we're going to gather at this table. God uses Jeremiah's voice to say, my law of love and justice will no longer need to reside on stone tablets or in sacred books and texts, because I will put it in them. Jesus says, I am actually this bread, and this bread is actually me. I am actually this wine, and this wine is actually me. And I am the fulfillment of the law. I keep all the covenants. So yes, God will put the law in you when you take a bite of bread or wafer, when you take that cup of wine and you put it to your lips and you tilt your head back a little bit. You take the covenant into yourself. He said, I will put my law in you. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and this meal brings Jesus into us. We here today right now are about a week and a half away from Good Friday. When the disciples first heard this language of this new covenant and Jesus in this meal, they were just hours away from Friday night. They back then, and we today, because we have this gift of scripture that keeps bringing us the story every time we open it. They back then and we today watch as our Savior hangs on a cross. Hanging there, being the restoration of the covenants. He brings blessings to all nations through the nation of Israel as the covenant with Abraham was meant to do. He's completely obedient, the absolute fulfillment of the law as it was given to Moses. He's the king who rules with love and justice according to the covenant with King David. And this Christ of ours, this fully God and fully human, this love-wearing skin among us, this Christ of ours is the new covenant between God and God's people. Between God and you, between God and me. Thanks be to God.